But anyway, we had the ministers' meeting there, and somebody asked me how it was, and I said, "Well, it was good and it was bad." We had a full spectrum, and then on the way down, well, Brother Pryor and I were taking my motor home down, and in Tupelo, Mississippi, we had trouble, mechanical trouble, and we still don't know, may have even blown the engine in it. We're not sure what all was wrong, but we got it towed back home on the way back. We rented a car and went on to the meeting. And the meeting Brother Dow presented to us, that we need more trust among the ministry, and so we worked on that. He had given us a list of 10 principles back several years ago, and he went back over that. I think the Lord is, you know, the Lord's trying to get this ministry in a place where it's well balanced and righteous in all of its implementation of the Word of God and God's order. And we have a vast conception, I'll say, of how to do that. And that's what makes the body of Christ special and interesting and different. That there's a, we have men of all different walks of life in religion or Christianity that God has added to the body of Christ that is attracted people of the same walks of life that they are. And so God has a way of reaching people in very different settings and that are in different concepts of life and understanding of the Word of God. But for us to have a restored church and have the truth and the understanding of truth, but to have the wisdom to utilize the understanding of God's purpose, His Word. It's taken God these nearly 2,000 years in the Gentile world, and no doubt we're nearing a place that God's beginning to put more definition and to get us ready for the final touches. I personally believe God's really trying to purge His body of certain concepts of order. And, there's just absolutely no way to have, let's see if I can get the word right, it was used in the meeting, absolute, to be able to apply the Word of God with an absolute rule, you know. It's just impossible. It's impossible to have an absolute law to deal with everybody with an absolute. Now, that needs some, you know, explanation because there are absolute principles that we need to have. But they cannot be applied in an absolute way because there's too many variables of situations to deal with. You know, there's people in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ is on their own level of understanding and their own level of growth and development in Christ. And you can't apply the Word of God in an absolute manner to all of them. A person that just coming in and has very limited understanding of or limited vision, you can't apply an absolute principle to them. Sometimes you have to allow them to develop to a place that they can have those principles applied to their life. You have to use wisdom to know who you can deal with and how much you can apply the statutes or rules of God's law or His commandments to them. And that's what I'm saying. There's too many variables. There's too many. Every case is so different that we can have absolute principles, but we can't have an absolute method of applying them. There's too many variables, and it takes wisdom in each case. So sometimes it seems to me like that there's men in our ministry that wants to deal with people like they're merchandise. You know, just like, you know, one of the things that was gone over was saints moving, and it seemed like some of the brethren would like to say that if a saint comes to their pastor and tells them they're going to want to move, that that pastor should talk to the pastor of wherever they're moving, and if the pastor they're moving from doesn't agree with their move, that he should let the other pastor know that, and they shouldn't be permitted to move. Well, you see, there's where you start getting into these absolutes, and you have to be careful because you're dealing with God's people. I've watched God for too many years and men of God, and it may be true that maybe they shouldn't move. Maybe they're missing God. They're making a mistake. But to try to hold on to somebody against their will and force them into a prison and make them do something is unreasonable. If the person, you know, in their mind feels like they're doing the right thing, I've watched God. He doesn't cut people off. You know, when they make a mistake and do something out of God's will. Now, that don't mean that. I'll give you an example of this. Jacob. Let's just take Jacob for an example. Jacob, there's no one that could say that Jacob was righteous in what he did to get the inheritance from Esau. It was sin. It was a lie. It was deceit. His mama helped him in it. It was wrong. Although Jacob was God's man to have that inheritance. He just didn't have the wisdom to know how to go about it and trust God to give him that inheritance in a righteous way. He went about it in his own way, in his own will, and he missed God in that, Brother Henry.
I was, since I've been at home a lot, kind of guarding my house, I've been watching a lot of Bible shows. And on one of the Bible shows was about Jacob. and Jacob, wife was barren, and he laid with one of his servants and produced a child. And later on, God told him that his wife would produce a child, and therefore he had two sons. And his wife told him to send the other son away. I was kind of wondering, why did Jacob send his, listen to his first wife and send his one son away? Why couldn't he just have kept both of his sons?
Are you talking about Jacob or Abraham?
Abraham.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had it mixed up.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I didn't mean to.
That's all right, but in that particular case, Isaac was a promised child from God. Abraham and Sarah tried to figure out, they didn't know how God's promise of them being both so old and her past the flower of her age where she wasn't, she'd already went through the change of life. It was physically and biologically impossible for her to have a child. So they couldn't figure out how God was going to fulfill his promise. So they they took it upon themselves to fulfill God's promise to give Abraham Sarah's handmaid, and which was Hagar, and for him to have a child by her, and that would fulfill the promise, but it would be for Sarah to have a son by her handmaid. And the picture in that is the picture of how the religious world is trying to fulfill God's promise. They're working for God to try to fulfill his will, but they're not letting God do it. And that's what produced an Ishmael spirit and a false religion. And yeah, well, he sent her away because there was just so much resentment and so much tension between the two women. If you remember, the angel interfered and helped Hagar to understand that God was still going to bless her, and the child, Ishmael, of course, took the unrighteous line, and Isaac, of course, the promised child did come, and God's will came through Isaac. So there had to be a separation, because this boy was not going to fulfill the plan of God. He wasn't what God chose. This was the works of man. That was a mistake too. But getting back on what I was saying about Jacob, he made a mistake, but he was, God wanted him to have that inheritance. His name, Jacob, means trickster. God changed his name to Israel, which means to rule with God. Even though Jacob did something wrong, it was in God's will. Sometimes I've worked with people. I've seen people get out of order. I've seen people do things out of order. And they were out of order to the point that I couldn't find out if God wanted them to do what they wanted. I knew they were going about it wrong, but I didn't know if God was really, trying to direct their life. They got ahead of God or got in their own spirit and did something that God's will may have been in. That's one of the variables I'm talking to you about. Saints can do things sometimes, and they're moving maybe according to their own will, or and God may fit that into his will, but they may go about it so wrong that there's no way to find out if God's in this or not until you just wait and watch. And that's why I'm saying you can't always take when somebody does something, if they do it wrong, you can't always say God is not going to be in what they're doing. You just got to wait sometimes. People make mistakes, but God will help fix their mistakes and correct it. Not always. Sometimes God will, you know, but they will pay. Jacob dearly paid for the mistake he made. God had to get that trickster spirit out of him. He went through a lot. And if you remember, you know, he was afraid of his brother for what he done. He tried to buy his brother's forgiveness back and went through many different phases of trying to get forgiveness of God. God had to take him through a lot to cause him to be the receptor of an inheritance that would be carried on, that would bring Christ in God's time into the world. And so I'm just showing you how a person can make a mistake and still be in God's will. But God will have to correct them for the mistake that they're making. I'm just saying in that how that ministers have got to be careful about just laying their hands on people like merchandise. You have to watch God, and you have to get God in on what you're doing. And so there are absolute principles. Like I wasn't able, Brother Pryor and I, because my motorhome was at in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is about a 10-hour drive from on south to Jacksonville. And we left it there at a truck center to have them look at it and tell us, you know, what needed to be done to fix it. And we was hoping it could be fixed by the time we got back. Well, they didn't even turn a screw on it. You know, they just sort of took what we told them happened, and they tried to take a big wrench and turn the flywheel, and they couldn't, so they said, well, it's froze up, so you need to rebuild it, and that's going to be $16,100. And so I was thankful to have Brother Pryor with me, because he's a diesel mechanic, and you know, he has a lot of knowledge in those areas. And besides all that, I don't like to drive, and he drove me. So I really appreciated that. But anyway, you know, his counsel to me was helpful to let me know we shouldn't just take these guys' words for it. You know, it may not be. You know, he said we can get it home, and I can drop the pan on it and pull the timing chain cover, and we can tell if it's going to have to be rebuilt, or if it, there's several things could happen that wouldn't be near as expensive to fix it. So he just talked me into giving him a job. And he just, you know, I just said, this sounds good. It sounds much better than what these other guys are saying. So it did cost us about a little over, let's see, over $1,500 to have it towed. Cost us $300 to have it towed about 4 or 5 miles there from where we was at, one place, to get it to the place that could look at it for us. And then it costs $1,250 to have it towed from Tupelo to here. So, just, you know, but I'm thankful, really. I mean, we never were broke down on the side of the road and had to stay there and stranded and all that. You know, it all worked pretty fluidly, and there was something wrong with the motorhome, and there's no way I would have found out without driving it, really. I mean, we didn't know if anything was like that was going to happen. And you get off on a trip, and actually, I just made an offer to trade it for another motorhome. And I'm glad that they didn't accept my trade, because it would have broke down on the way to exchange them. You know, it was further to where I'd had to made the trade than to Tupelo. And so on my way, I would have broke down, and it would have, you know, that would have been a big problem. Because they might not have been satisfied unless I put the $16,100 in it. So anyway, I was glad that we found this out, and I sure wouldn't have wanted to trade it, and then the next day it blowed up on them. That wouldn't have been good either. So anyway, how did I get off on that? What was I talking about? Huh? Oh, yeah. So when we found out we was going to have to bring it back here, we started calling to find out about having it towed, and we could either have it towed Friday and get back there to do that Friday, or if they towed it on the weekend, it'd be like, you know, the weekend prices are like double, or, you know, I mean, significantly higher. And or if we left it and waited on next week, then I'd have to go back to Tupelo. So we just decided to leave the meeting for the last day and be there to meet the tow truck. We had to be there because a motorhome runs on an air suspension, and we had to use the air suspension inside the motorhome, and you got to know how to operate the leveling system to raise it up where they can get underneath it, remove the drive shaft, and get underneath it enough to hook up all their towing apparatus. And then they also had to hook into the air supply of the motorhome to maintain the air suspension for it to be towed by, because it wasn't run. So they had to use the air off the tow truck to the air, and I had to be there to show them where all that was. I mean, they don't know how those guys are. They can tow a vehicle, but they don't know all the, every motorhome is different on how all that works and where it all is. So we had to be there to help them get it hooked up. And so that's why we left the last day, and we weren't there. But I've got several reports. It's been interesting with the reports I've been getting. Some of them are good reports. Some of them were horrible reports. Some of them were good and bad. You know, some people were very frustrated with the meeting. And I will tell you, this body is going through a very strategic time that God's working on this ministry. And I believe it's because he's purging this ministry with ideas and concepts that are out of balance with wisdom. And when God's finished, I think the body of Christ will be bear the name of the Lord, and it'll be a place you can run into and be safe. It's still the safest place, I think, that you can be in God's kingdom, but I still think that we need some help. We need God's help. We need balance. But there's a lot of work. There's a lot of adjustments. There's a lot of, it's going to require patience. It's going to require men who can see beyond today and that have a vision for tomorrow, that's willing to labor through difficult times. Thank God we have the history of our forefathers, and we know some of the things they went through and stayed on the job to bring us where we are. Aren't you glad they stayed on the job and they didn't give up, and that we still have what we have today? It's still the greatest message, and it's the greatest operation in the earth today. And of course, it's God. I don't think God, I know God's going to finish what he has started. And he don't need us. I also know that. He don't have to have us to to do what he's doing. He's able to raise up stones to praise him and to worship him, and he's capable of reaching out and touching people and revealing to them and having what he wants to have. But God's invested a lot in this body and this brotherhood, and I know enough about how God works to know that he's not going to slough anything off. As long as there's, you know, that little scripture we use, if there's a smoking flax, he'll fan it. If there's a broken reed, if it's not destroyed, he'll try to heal it. So God don't give up on anything until there's nothing left to work with. And I'm not discouraged. I get frustrated sometimes, but I'm not discouraged with the things of God and the work of God. I'll read these principles that we went over again. These principles have been principles we've had. They're scriptural. We've had them in the body for a long time. I may comment on some of them, and some of them I just read. Receiving accusations against one another. Of course, this was for the ministry, that you don't receive an accusation against an elder except before two or three witnesses. But even you saints need to know that you shouldn't be receiving accusations against the man of God without some witness to the accusation. Just when somebody, you just got one person to tell you something about somebody, you know, or people can say something to plant something in your mind against somebody, you know, they could just say something like, you don't know everything. You don't know everything about this guy or whatever. And that plants a negative thought in your mind, but it may just be something that you didn't like about, you know, how something was handled maybe 20 or 30 years ago, that, you know, the man may have already got, if he was wrong, he may have already got corrected of it. So that, but again, these principles are to build trust, you know, and that's why these scriptures are in the Bible, is so that we can not tear down the order of God, and that there's a proper way to deal with a person. I think it's even that way with you saints. I don't think we are to receive accusations against one another without having something to really verify it. And number two, the solicitation and receiving of one another's dissidence. You know, in other words, soliciting, in other words, some of you people might solicit some of somebody else's saints that are discouraged where they are. Or I have situations, you know, since I'm working with ministers now, some different assemblies, it's sort of a new learning ground for me, because it's kind of like I don't have a dog in the fight. So I can look at things a little bit more objectively than if we're talking about something that's happening to me or me and another minister. When I'm looking at two people's cases and I'm not biased either way, I'm just listening to the case, my emotions and my personal feelings aren't involved. And it's a more clear way to look at things. And that's why I know we need counsel. We need counselors, and we need help in solving some of our problems. I had a case I think everybody here knows pretty well what areas I work in. The Dominican Republic work. We've got 8 churches in Canada that I oversee, and than this church and the Republic Church. And then I work with Brother Green in Wichita. He's not required to really, but he just looks to me as his elder, and we have a really good relationship. So in one of these areas, I had some people in one church that got mad at their pastor about a situation that they were going through and the way he handled it. And so they decided that they was going to quit his church and go to another church there close by. They was going to leave that one pastor and go to the other one. So they went to the other pastor and talked to him. And the other pastor felt like that, you know, this pastor made a mistake and he's not really too wise, and so these poor people need help, and I can help them a lot more than this guy can. And so I probably need to take these people. So he counseled the people, but he knew he couldn't just take them, because he knew I wouldn't allow that. I mean, he knew enough about order that he knew that you couldn't just take people just because they came to you, just because it's your decision to do. So he told them, well, they called me. These two pastors got together and they called me. And I said, tell the people to stay where they were until I get there. I'm coming there in about 2 weeks and we'll deal with the case. So this pastor said, I'm not going to do that. So I said, so you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do? He said, no. I said, why? He said, well, I'm not going to make those people mad at me. So, now there's some men, see, that would have just cut this guy's head off because he refused and rebelled against what I was telling him. But I've just been around long enough to know this is a good man. I'm going to have to work with him. I'm going to have to be patient with him, but I'm not going to let him get by with doing this kind of stuff. In the end, he can't work as one of the men that are a leader together with me and leaders in that area, and refuse to do what I ask him to do. I wasn't asking him to. I said, I'm not asking you to do something unreasonable. I just said, hold them off for a couple weeks. I'll be there, and we'll deal with this. Because I could tell these two men were getting too heated against each other, and I knew I couldn't settle it over the phone. So, but he wouldn't do it. That created another problem, but it was necessary. It's something we had to go through, and that's been a couple years ago, and really this preacher's just now getting healed. He's just now getting to a place that he realizes he's made a pretty big mistake. He's repented, but he still can't get this, you know, out of his spirit of being so independent and not working in exact right order. But he's about to get there. God's humbled him quite a bit in the last couple of years, and I really haven't done nothing. I just let God handle it. But except I haven't showed the trust and included him in everything I was doing, because I don't know if I can trust him. But I've worked with him because I think the man will make a leader. Anyway, so what he did was he told them, Brother Smith said that you can't come to my church. So they just quit. They just quit church. But when I got over there, I sent him over there to tell him to come to church. We dealt with the situation. And what I finally did is I made a rule. See, this wouldn't work. It won't work. You can't have two churches, number one, in one city without an overseer. Somebody's got to make a final decision. And if you got two men working as peers, or, you know, they're pretty well on the same level of authority, they're not one of them going to accept the other one's authority for a final decision. So it really takes, it won't work unless you've got an overseer that Anyway, so I made a rule. I said, y'all can move, but you're moving wrong. You're moving against. I said, you really need to stay here and get this worked out, because you got in a bad spirit against your pastor, and you need to get out of that before you decide. And this man won you to God. He gave you a vision, and he really hasn't done anything. I mean, I examined the whole thing. I said, he hadn't done anything wrong. He made some mistakes, but he really didn't mistreat the people. The people got aggravated at him over a case, and really the other pastor received accusations against that pastor and agreed with them and gave strength to them and what they wanted to do. But I told them, I said, they don't want to stay with you, and we're going to have to let them move. But I told them, I said, she sang with the women on the platform. He sat with the men in the ministry. I said, you cannot sit on the platform for 3 months, and she can't sing with the singers for 3 months. And any time within 6 months, you can go back home, no questions asked. But if you stay longer than 6 months, you cannot leave and go back to the church you came from unless both pastors agree. And if they don't both agree, then I'll have to get in on the case, and we'll have to make a new decision. And I said, you're not going to move back and forth, you know, just every little time you get upset about something. This wasn't something that, you know, that I could judge it was a good reason to move. Now, they moved to this other church, and of course they were madder than far at me because they had to sit down for 3 months. But they did. The pastor made them do what I said. And and so I just kind of set that as a rule over there in this particular area. But the people, after about 7 or 8 months, decided we need to go back home because this guy here is worse than the one that we left from. So they went and talked to him about, you know, maybe they made a mistake, but he said, no, you didn't make a mistake. You've done the right thing. He wants to keep them, see? So, but he won't let them talk to the other pastor, but we, you know, the people will make some way for you to find out, you know. So, but I've just told this other pastor, you just be still and wait on God and let this, it's kind of like a fester. You just kind of let it get to a head. I said, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says you can, if you find a stone and you pick up a stone and put it in your pocket, that stone become a wearisome stone with you. You know, you can get something that you, after a while, you wish to God you didn't have it. You know? You know, sometimes you just have to wait on God to work these things out. But when God gets through, if we let God's wisdom work, you'll wind up with the people will be happy when God gets them fixed where he really wants them, and so will the ministry. But you just have to let it work. And that there, right there, what I'm talking about is a great difference between religion or Christianity and the body of Christ. When you get in a place where God's working, and when you get with men of God that knows how to work with God and let God work. And that's what I'm talking about. This ministry, God's having to help this ministry, and I think he is helping us. I think there's great wisdom, you know, but you cannot say, you know, like for an example, let's take a couple of these scriptures about soliciting or receiving one another's dissidence. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. You know, in other words, do to your brother what you'd want him to do to you. So there's scriptures that we can apply here to show that you can't just work your own will and in things like this. But see, there's other variables where I made a statement in the meeting. It kind of jumped out of my mouth before but I didn't really want to take it back. But I know it probably lodged in some people's minds, and they didn't probably like it. I said, there's a several of you, brethren, that I wouldn't sit under. And I wouldn't expect anybody else to. So I've felt like they was going too far dealing with people like merchandise. I said, this ain't merchandise. See, we're talking about souls. We're talking about God's people. And they don't belong to any of us. They're God's children. They're not ours. And we can't handle them like merchandise. And there's too many variables to apply an absolute rule or law or principle to every case. You can apply the principle, but it has to be done with wisdom. There's a balance, you know, both sides of the road. You can get on a ditch either side. So, there are cases where people... You know, I'll just tell you all right now, there's places in this body that if some saints came to me and wanted to leave there and come here, I'd tell them, get packed and come on. You're in a cult anyway. You're in a place you aren't not, nobody ought to have to be in. There's places in this body that there's men that aren't fit to pastor people. That's just the truth. But you got to be careful. You better be sure what you're saying when you say stuff like that. And there's men that mistreat people. And there's men that's never going to let people move in order, any kind of order. And I ain't gonna pay any attention to men like that. I'm going to help people. But you see, when you start talking like that, you better be a person that is going to treat everybody right. You know, that's not any bad spirit towards anybody. It's just that you see that people need to be delivered from certain situations, and you're never going to get a tyrant to let them be delivered. So you just have to deliver. But I will say this to you. You may need some help from an elder. Just not anybody can release somebody like that. And I'm not trying to put myself up in a high place, but I'm not afraid to release some people from certain situations. I know the leadership's mind of this body, and I know they'd stand with me. So you got to know what you're doing, and you got to know it's within the realms of the order of the leadership of this body. But I'm just saying there is a big variable from one side of the road to the other side of the road. There's so many variables that it's just hard to say, here's a law. There's two sides of this. I think one of the reports I got was that Brother Brown got up in the meeting and said, this is good. These principles are good and they're right if they're handled right. But there's another side of this that needs to be brought up, and it's the liberty side. There's a liberty and a freedom in this body, and there's a place that the saints need, the protection of the saints and the liberty that they have, that this ministry is to protect, that needs to be brought up to bring a balance to this. So we have to work on that too. See, sometimes we work in one area where we're not getting the full balance. And so we're out of time. But anyway, that's a little bit of a
principle.
The second principle was the soliciting and receiving of another's dissidence. I use the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. In other words, don't be covetousness. There's laws, you know, that there's laws under the old covenant that if you put your servant eye out, you have to release him and let him go. You can't hold him any longer as a slave. You know, and you could apply that and as a type that if you're causing a saint to go blind, you don't have enough of the Word of God of truth to keep a person's vision alive, that and that person don't think they can get fed under your ministry, you got to release them. You know, if you find your brother's ox, he's got out, you know, he's running around. If you find your brother's ox, you're supposed to put the ox up and find out who it belongs to. Take good care of it, but give it back to him when you find the rightful owner. But there's two sides of the ditch there. You know, this, you got to let this one go, but you've got a right to what you really truly own that's really yours. And I can't take that away from you, but I can take this over here if you're so mean that you'd blind somebody. You know, you're slave. So there was laws that God gave to even protect your rights, your property, and even the slaves, the servants, under the law. So it's basically that principle, just dealing, you got to have the right spirit towards your brother, and you got to have the wisdom for the right judgment of each and every particular case that has to be dealt with on its own merits. So I'd like to see us be like God, wouldn't you? I'd like for us to have enough wisdom and enough mercy and enough long suffering that we can work with people in their mistakes and save them. See, God, He loves every one of you. If you're His child, He loves you, and He'll follow you to the end of the world. Even if you're off in a wreck doing your own thing, if God will never leave you or forsake you, and He'll be there when you call on Him, and He'll lift you up out of the pit that you're in. Now, does that give you a liberty to just go about doing whatever you want to do and going against the things of God? No, it does not, and you will pay dearly. God will have to get all that out of your spirit. So, you know, so it pays to fear God. Be careful and wait on God. Let God direct your steps. So let's go upstairs and take a break.